Dear friends, after the division of King David's kingdom, the northern kingdom of Israel, composed of 10 tribes, abandoned God and his ways. They took on religious beliefs and practices as well as cultures of the surrounding pagan nations. They melted away with them and lost their Hebrew identity. The remaining two tribes, Judah and Benjamin, made up the southern kingdom, called Judah. They too experienced slow but steady spiritual and moral decline. The prophets Isaiah and Micah ministered to the Hebrew remnant in the kingdom of Judah. They strongly advised them to accept and submit to the Lord's plan for their exile. The prophets pointed out God's plan to bring saving blessing to all nations through the coming of the promised Messiah in the latter or last days. The message is clear. Instead of war, a divine initiative leads to a real peace among peoples of all nations. Instruments and resources of war, which lead to divisions, sufferings, and death, are replaced by instruments for peaceful, healthy living. Chapter 4 of Micah's prophecy and chapter 2 of Isaiah both say, "It shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established as the highest of the mountains, and shall be lifted up above the hills, and all the nations shall flow to it. And many peoples shall come and say, 'Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us his ways, and that we may walk in his paths.'" Isaiah then foretold the spread of the divine message of peace to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. The prophecy promised that the Messiah shall judge between the nations and shall decide disputes for many peoples, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. Then Isaiah exhorts, "O house of Jacob, come, let us walk in the light of the Lord." Isaiah's 7th chapter speaks specifically of God's plan to personally intervene as Emmanuel, meaning God with us. He says, "Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." Emmanuel, the child of the Virgin, born to establish the promised everlasting kingdom of David, does away with the instruments of war. He is further identified in Isaiah 9 as the Prince of Peace. It says, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." The people had longed for a miraculous military intervention by God. The prophet Micah in chapter 4 describes their fears. "Now why do you cry aloud? Is there no king in you? Has your counselor perished, that pain seized you like a woman in labor?" So they hoped for a powerful military leader like King David to deliver them from the encircling enemy armies. Or a wise person like Solomon to negotiate a smart peace deal. The heavenly plan did not provide either. Rather, they were promised deliverance through the exile and through the loss of earthly political power and privilege. He called them to experience exactly what they were trying to avoid. Writhe and groan, O daughter of Zion, like a woman in labor, for now you shall go out from the city and dwell in the open country. You shall go to Babylon. There you shall be rescued. There the Lord will redeem you from the hand of your enemies. That exile to Babylon was part of the divine plan of blessing, not only for them, but also for all nations. Neither they nor their enemies expected or understood the outcome, Micah prophesied. But they do not know the thoughts of the Lord. They do not understand his plan, that he has gathered them as sheaves to the threshing floor. Yes, Trier was restoring them to service as God meant in calling Abraham, their great-grandfather, to equip them to serve his divine plan for the blessing of all families of the earth. From the beginning, it was to be accomplished through the coming of Emmanuel, the Prince of Peace. From the line of Abraham through Judah to the royal line of King David, the prophet Micah assures them of a calling to a different mission. This is enabled by a different weapon. It is the powerful spiritual horns and hoofs of the self-giving divine Lamb, Prince of Peace. The powerful divine instrument is the gospel of peace that spreads from Jerusalem to the ends of the earth, just as Christ later instructed his apostles. Arise and thresh, O daughter of Zion, for I will make your horn iron, and I will make your hoofs bronze. You shall beat in pieces many peoples, and shall devote their gain to the Lord, their wealth to the Lord of the whole earth. This is the real meaning of turning swords into plowshares and spears into pruning hooks. The gospel of peace reconciles rebellious people with their caring and saving Creator. They in turn follow the Prince of Peace. They set aside their selfish and self-centered rivalries over earthly possessions and resources. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. This is how Jesus, the true King, rules over the promised abiding kingdom of David. It brings together Jews and Arabs, Greeks and Turks, Africans, Asians, Europeans, peoples of all colors, classes, languages, and races. This is what the divine gospel of peace continues to do among the nations. Friends, Christ warned that there would be wars and rumors of wars over the perishing lands and resources until his return. Yet, by his gracious gospel and gentle power of his Spirit, he, the Prince of Peace, Emmanuel, God with us, is establishing an eternal kingdom of peace made up of citizens from all families of the earth. Hallelujah.